may be seated, and let us continue in silent prayer, bowing our heads and hearts as we open our communion with the Lord. We thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He has risen from the dead, and that He's going to conquer all. We just have to put our trust there. We do appreciate our lives, our church, and we humbly thank you for all those blessings that we have. All those joys and concerns that were expressed here this morning, Father, we do lift them up to you, and we lift all those that weren't spoken, the ones that are still within our hearts. You know them, whether they are spoken or not. And we know that you will make those decisions, and that all things come both for the good for those who believe. We know that we all will have bad times, but we know that the end result is a time of peace, glory, and a time of eternal bliss. That's where we see the working for good. And we look forward to all that we can give and all that we can do receive. Be with us through this service. Help us to be drawn nearer to you as we worship, as we praise, and as we confess. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priest and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe it all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized them when he broke the bread. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you will be with us through this service and that each of us can leave closer to you and closer to the life that we need to be living. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Last week, those of you that were here had an opportunity to hear Phil Brown give a witness as to his spiritual renewal that he had just gone through on the weekend before. He had 72 hours of a walk to Emmaus. Phil related that what he really came away from there with, among many other things, is that he recognize that our belief, the crux of our belief and the crux of our religion, is in the resurrected Christ. Phil said that even though he sees this empty cross every time he's in the sanctuary, he always in his own mind added a broken body of Christ on it. But the Christ he knew now was living and was with him and would walk with him every day. What a revelation. And what an insight into our whole religion, our whole thought, our whole process. There was a report, a news report about a young addict, drug addict, in Houston, Texas, that had a $3,000 a month habit. And he couldn't kick it, and he couldn't afford it. He broke into a convenience store, and as soon as he got in, he called the police to come get him. He couldn't handle it by himself. He was calling for help. How often do we have life that we can't handle? But are we calling to Jesus Christ? There is a 911 number that goes straight to Christ. And he's with us, as Phil learned, every day. The disciples that were referred to in the scripture that Beth read were returning to their former life. They were going to the village of Emmaus. They were disillusioned. were downtrodden and they felt that they had been betrayed because the man that they had believed in as the Messiah had been dead, was dead, and had been buried. They had been taught about the resurrection, but they had not comprehended about the resurrection. And even though the living Christ was physically walking with them, they did not recognize him. He was there available as they walked on that road returning to their former life, but they didn't realize it. By the same token, as we walk the road of life, do we realize that Christ is walking with us? A number of years ago, on the Amazon River, a Peruvian ship came upon a Spanish ship that was anchored there. And this was in the part of the Amazon that is so wide, you can't see any shore. And as they pulled up to that Spanish ship that was anchored there, they realized that the crew was in dire straits. They were laying on the deck, gasping. They pulled up and said, "What? Can we do anything to help you?" And they said, "Yes, fresh water. We're dying of thirst." They said, "Lower your bucket. This is fresh water where you're sitting. We have fresh water around us. We have living water around us at all times." And just like those Spanish sailors, how often are we dying of thirst? You remember when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. He said, "If you take this living water that I have for you, you will not thirst again. It will become a spring and gush up to eternal life." We have the living water around us every day. We have the living Christ around us every day. In the scripture on the road to Emmaus, Jesus talked with these disciples. We have that opportunity every day. We have the opportunity to pray. The Apostle Paul told us to pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean we have to be on our knees all day, every day. We have to be in communion with God, with the living Christ. He used scripture to explain to these disciples, Jesus did, what had been prophesied about his ministry, his life, death, and resurrection. And we have the same thing available to us every day if we just pick up our Bibles and study and learn. The message is there. When the disciples recognized Jesus was after they reached their destination and he was breaking bread and giving thanks for it. That's what we have in Holy Communion, my friends. We have the gift of bread from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The communion is a holy sacrament. And it is our chance to be motivated, rededicated, and to become closer to the living Christ. After the disciples recognized Jesus, the scripture says that they got up immediately and returned to Jerusalem. They returned to where the other believers were. They had given up on this belief, on this life, and and on this Jesus Christ. They had been walking west into the setting sun, away from the life that they thought they had encountered. They turned around and went back east into the rising sun, back to the believers. And I think it's very interesting that in the scripture it says that they invited Jesus to stay with them because evening was approaching. Well, after they recognized him, they picked up right then and took off. They didn't have any motor vehicles sitting outside ready to jump into, nor any flashlights to help them show the way. If evening were approaching when they stopped, it was getting mighty close when they started back. But they went that 7 miles back. They were returning to the other believers, to the church. And that's what we need to do in our life. Recognize the rising Christ, the living Christ, and head to the rising sun, to believers and to our church. They were walking with Christ as we are walking with Christ every day, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus told us and told his disciples in the book of John, because I live, you also will live. And so many things happen on the road, biblically and presently too. These disciples on the way to Emmaus met the living Christ. Saul of Tarsus was on the way to Damascus to continue his persecution of these new renegade Christians. And he met the living Christ on that road. And he became the Apostle Paul. We are on the road to life, the road of life. And we need to have those same kind of experiences. Josephus, now his first name is Flavius, I think that's the way it's pronounced, but we'll just stick with Josephus, was a first century historian. He contended in his writing of history of that period immediately following Jesus' ministry and death that we would never have heard of Jesus if there had not been for the resurrection. Not because of his parables, not because of his miracles, not because of his crucifixion. He said that the crucifixions during that time period after Jesus' death became so prevalent that the Romans ran out of trees and they started nailing people to the sides of buildings to crucify them. According to Josephus' outlook, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, he would have been one of a million rather than one in a million. And I think that one of the strongest messages or reasons that you can, arguments that you can have in support of the living and risen Christ is what happened to the apostles. Everyone but one died a martyr's death. They died a martyr's death because they knew that Jesus Christ had risen. You don't have a false belief and give your life for it. But yet these men did give their lives. And if you can recall what we sang in that first opening, in that opening hymn, the refrain, it says, you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. That's how we know. Jesus told us that he would be with us always to the end of the age. Our salvation is a gift of God. It is by the grace of God that we have what we have. And that salvation comes from the living Christ, from, my friends, this empty cross, because Jesus Christ lives. And I came across a prayer that's like a poem that I would like to read. Let the living Christ go with you. Let him go before you to show the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. May we all walk every day with the living Christ. He lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, continue to bless this service, and may each of us leave, Father, closer to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.